I wanted to bring this to us to talk about because I have a few friends and colleagues that really struggle with this, that will admit that they struggle with perfectionism, that they want everything perfect. And I thought, you know what, let's help them. Actually, why don't you help me help them by giving me advice to share with them. But let's talk about this issue of perfectionism. Nicole, how would you define it? What would you say it is?
Yeah, perfectionism in a broad sense is the striving for flawlessness. Mm. There's generally a very harsh inner critic, and there's an internal dialogue that is very problem-focused. Mm. And it can, I think part of the problem that we face now is that perfectionism is almost celebrated. I'm a perfectionist. But what we know to be true is that perfectionism can ultimately lead to depression, anxiety, isolation, because it's paralyzing.
Yeah.
And so that harsh inner critic just keeps us really shut down.
Yeah.
Okay, honest talk. Are any of you perfectionists, or do you know of anybody? Do you have a friend that struggles with perfectionism?
Yeah, I would say my husband is one, and I'm like, I feel like I'm the opposite of a perfectionist. So, we can come together, and sometimes it works.
But so your husband, you would say, is?
Yeah, very much so.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you guys know anybody or yourself?
Yeah.
Do?
Yeah, I know lots of people that struggle with perfectionism. Sure. But I think everyone has some perfectionism tendencies within them.
Yeah.
I think we just have to figure out what areas it shows up in.
That's a really good point.
That is.
Tonight, because it's a spectrum. Some areas we might be like, okay, I'm happy to just let this roll off. But over here, it has to be absolutely right.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I struggle with it. I'm very, I always said, oh, I'm just particular about the things that I do. That's what I would say. That's my language. But I think I do. And I think it's in certain areas.
Yeah.
I am very clear on how it has to be really perfect. In other things, I'm just like, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really agree with that. Mm. Okay, tonight in that, how does perfectionism start, like this need for all things to be perfect in our lives? Because some people might say, oh, well, that's social media world and culture and landscape. But how does it begin?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are different theories, but like many things, it starts in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually people that struggle with perfectionism grew up in homes with like highly critical parents, or they felt really good about themselves when they were praised. And so they kind of chased this being good and being worthy, because at the end of the day, we all want to be connected to our parents, especially children. And so this means if I follow the rules, you're going to love me. I'm going to do that. Even though parents never tell their kids that, this is how the child kind of internalizes and builds this narrative around, like, I am worthy when I am good. I am worthy when I do this well. And so they continue to strive for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's taking a pause because we're all like, oh man. And especially if you're a parent, you're thinking the same thing. Like, am I doing that with my children?
Yeah.
And my kids?
And it's important that you bring that up, because it's important that we realize to give parents grace, give all of us grace as parents as well, because no one has a child and says, I'm going to raise a perfectionist. I'm going to raise a highly critical person that's going to continuously judge themselves and judge everyone around them.
Yeah.
No one says that.
Yeah.
It comes from a good place of wanting our kids to achieve, wanting our kids to do well, or we praise them excessively, right? Because we love our children.
Yeah.
But depending on the child, that can build certain stories within them.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I feel convicted. I just threw my husband under the bus and his parents.
Brooke? Brooke, so what do you think, and I think for all of us, but Brooke, let's start with you. Why perfectionism is a problem? Because you've said, like, society's like, this whole idea of perfectionism is sometimes celebrated. You know, our filters on socials, the things that we say to our kids or to ourselves. It's like, well, of course we want things perfect. It's excellence. Mm-hmm. It's good. Mm-hmm. But what do you see as the problem?
Well, I think what Nicole said earlier is that, like, it's linked to burnout and anxiety and depression, because you're living under this umbrella of expectation that, like, can never be met.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we are meant to be perfect. We're human beings. We're not perfect. The only person that was ever perfect was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so to live in this world of everything I do has to be perfect, and I can't do it until it is, actually holds you back instead of moves you forward.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds exhausting.
Yes.
Like, when you say that, I'm like, it's like you'll never achieve it then.
That's
you're
right.
always like behind.
That's right. Yeah.
And you'll never achieve it because it's based on perception, you know? So perception's always changing. This person might think, hey, yeah, that table is place in the right place, but Melinda, you might disagree. And so we'll never get it right because it's based on external perception.
Yeah,
let's talk about that. Go hold.
It changes the goalposts, doesn't it, perfectionism? It's like you get to this place that you thought was going to be perfect, and then someone else does, you know, says, well, that's actually not how I thought it should go. And it, now suddenly we own that as an identity of ourselves, like we're flawed, we're a failure. And then we can really spin in that internal dialogue of criticism about ourselves.
That honestly, I'm sitting here, I'm like feeling exhausted and overwhelmed just by people who live in that space and that thought process. So then what are the challenges when we live with perfectionism? You know, I think there's being self-critical. Of yourself, but what are your thoughts? What are some of the challenges when you're constantly saying everything has to be perfect?
Well, just like not moving forward in like your dream or your job or your parenting or whatever your relationships, because you're always holding yourself back. Does that make sense? Like you're always like you are your worst critic, your worst enemy, and you're not allowing yourself to flourish and do the things that the Lord has called you to do because you're. Just always trying to get it right. We're never going to get it right. When in parenting, in pursuing our dreams, in you know being a wife, it's, you know, I wish I was perfect in all those areas, but like I'm just not, and I have to come to grips with that and accept that.
So much grace required.
Looking at that,
and perfectionism really informs procrastination.
Say that again and really loud.
Perfectionism informs procrastination. So we put things off because it won't be perfect.
That's right.
And, you know, over the years I've had, you know, students are going to hand in a paper and they, could I just get an extension? Could I, can we, the perfectionist is looking for the extension often because they just can't get started. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start. And so perfectionism can halt so much. Like you're saying, Brooke, you know, moving towards our dreams, finishing things we want to finish, starting something that we know we're called to do.
And one more thing, it can hinder relationships from getting deeper. You know, if I am striving to be perfect, I'm not going to be vulnerable enough to show you my scars and to show you my flaws. And so then the other person might also not feel comfortable enough to show you their flaws. And so there's like this barrier between two people of trying to maintain this false image because I don't want to risk you seeing all the ugly parts of me.
It's good.
So
it's amazing.
It impacts relationships. It actually impacts things that we do, whether it's a paper or putting frames on a
pictures
on the wall or anything. And I think what you're also saying too, Brooke, what sort of is that it also hinders you and debilitates you from actually starting things, even doing things, that might bring you joy.
Well, like what you just said, it can be from the biggest things about, you know, flourishing relationships and pursuing dreams to hanging pictures on the wall. You know, the smallest to the biggest things, it affects everything.
I think this is really a great discussion on the challenges when we live with perfectionism, like naming them. And I think for, you know, our audience, they're probably like, oh, yeah, that's me. But let's go back to, and Nicole, we mentioned this earlier about social media, how social media has, you know, increased this whole, like, it's good to be perfect. You actually must be perfect. Let's talk about that. What are your feelings about what social media has done in that area tonight?
Yeah, I think social media has done a great job with allowing us to create a world that looks perfect, a flawless face without wearing any makeup. And then we get the validation. People like our picture and comment. And so we feel good. Like we all want validation. Like we thrive when we're validated. And so that cycle continues where it's like, I'm going to do what I can to get as much validation as possible so that I feel good about myself and I feel worthy.
It's funny because I turned to Sinead earlier and I was like, I'm not a perfectionist at all. And she's like, you're not? So would you post a photo of yourself that looked bad on social media? I was like, no, never.
Way to go, Sinead.
Who would do such a thing?
Of course not. No.
Guilty as charged.
But why wouldn't we? What is that, Brooke? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know why I wouldn't do that. I think maybe you want to present your best self all the time, right? Yeah. And I'm fine to post photos with like no makeup on or a messy house, let's say, but there is a side of me that wants the mess and the no makeup to be perfect too, you know? It's a weird social media does weird things to you.
And it invites comparison to the game.
Oh yeah.
And we have this belief that something beautiful is going on in the lives of everybody else because that's what they're presenting to us. Mm-hmm. And for Sunaita and myself, we get behind the veil. It's kind of fun to be able to sit with people in the real life stuff, the real mess of things. Mm-hmm. But social media brings comparison up. Yeah. And I'm not doing it as well as this person, or I don't look as put together as that person, and that's paralyzing as well. And then that feeds the depression and the anxiety.
Wow. Yeah.
So I mean, the challenges. I mean, when we buy into that, and live in that depression, anxiety, we're not enough, self-criticism, debilitating. You know, us being debilitated to not doing things. So we can see, mm-hmm. as we presented now, the problem with perfectionism. Now we're going to talk about how we can overcome perfectionism and some practical steps. So Nicole, let's start with you. Help us, please. What are some of the steps that can help us overcome perfectionism?
I think the first step is self-awareness.
Okay.
I think just noticing that there is a need here, that there's a perfectionistic tendency. Mm-hmm. And starting with that awareness, maybe talk to a counselor would be a really good place to start. Recognizing that there's some sort of internal need to feed this perfectionism.
Okay.
And so that self-awareness is really important. You can start with journaling, talking it out with a therapist, but that's a really great place to start. And once that awareness has happened, and then you can move on to the next steps of talking it out with someone, talking to someone like Sunaita or myself. But I think the self-awareness is a really good place to start.
So self-awareness. So so would you say that most people know that they have perfectionist issues or not? Like, if I was going to say, okay, I'm going to be self-aware and think about it. Yeah. Do most people know?
I think my experience is most people do have a knowledge of that. Whenever someone shows up with anxiety in the room, I can often find a place with them where there's a perfectionistic, a need for perfectionism. And the problem with perfectionism, of course, is the problem with anxiety is it awfulizes outcomes, right? It catastrophizes the terrible thing that's going to happen if I don't get it perfect.
Okay.
And so part of the work of working with people around perfectionism is, let's look at the possible outcomes. Can you handle the worst case scenario? Because if you can handle the worst case scenario, or there's a fix that can happen if that happens, that's part of the self-awareness. Most people have an idea that they've got some, they might call it excellence.
But I didn't perfection. Know until Sunaita told me today. So clearly
right. We have some issues with perfectionism. Yeah. Okay, so self-awareness is a good step. And then you're saying, and then also then some professional help after when you're like, okay,
it's really
I need
handy.
Some help with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunaita, what for you?
I think one way is to kind of externalize it. So instead of owning this title, like I'm a perfectionist, like just cut that out. Like you struggle with perfectionism. Perfectionism shows up in your life in certain areas, but you are not a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Like you are you. Mm-hmm. And so another way to externalize it is like when you notice it coming up, name it. Be like, you know, as you are trying to put an outfit together and you are going outfit after outfit and, you know, you're late for this event, name it. Say, hey, I think that's perfectionist over there. I think perfectionism is kind of hindering me right now. Mm-hmm. And like see it outside of yourself versus I'm being a perfectionist again. This is what I always do. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Because perfectionism is very me focused. And so we need to kind of learn how to like alter that to like other focus, externalize it, take it outside of you.
That's really good.
Wow, that is really good. Okay, so the self-awareness, like naming it, but not letting it be like this identity. It was like, oh, there it is again, but saying, oh, it's showing up this way.
Exactly.
Professional support. What about for like internally your mind when it happens? Like, what do you say as it's happening? Like, okay, like it's almost like self-talk. Like, okay, it might not be perfect, but I'm gonna be okay with it. Like, what would you say about that?
The self-talk with perfectionism is so harsh. Mm-hmm. It's so harsh. It's mean. It's judgmental. Mm-hmm. There's no room for error. And so to combat that would be compassion, like extending compassion towards yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think as Christians, a great way to extend that compassion is to like picture God your Father extending that compassion towards you. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say you didn't do well at work and you're beating yourself up. What would God the Father say? Would he scold you for not getting this project right? Or would he extend compassion? Mm-hmm. Would he extend that grace? Mm-hmm. And so it's about how do I internalize God's voice over this harsh inner critic that's been taking over my life?
That's That's beautiful.
That's really good.
Yeah, and I think like that takes intentionality. Yeah. All of these things do, right? Like it's one thing to say, do this, do this, do this, but like you actually have to be intentional about doing those things. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that you struggle with, or that's like an identity crisis for you, is like, oh, I'm a perfectionist, is being intentional about calling it out, being intentional about calling that therapist, being intentional about coming to God with this thing and allowing him to come and work through you.
Yeah, no, that's really good. You know, I was thinking about that as you're saying compassion for yourself, because it seems like a lot of times we're the last person that we give compassion to. We give compassion to everybody else. Right. Oh, you know what? Don't worry about that. That's fine. That's crooked, not problem. You know, it's not. And yet you're right. It's reminding ourselves that we need to have great compassion for ourselves when we don't.
And sometimes I wonder, though, can we give people compassion if we don't give it to ourselves?
Like, well, that's a good
question. Wonder,
like,
how genuine is that? Like, or are we secretly judging them? You know, like, can we have this harsh inner critic without criticizing other people? Like, I don't know.
That's another show.
I
know, but it's a good question because can you, when you're, I don't know. I mean, that's a really, really good question. When we choose, okay, we're going to be self-aware, we're going to be compassionate, we're going to get some help. Mm-hmm. When we do, what will life and relationships and work look like? And why I say this is, for those who are struggling, we want to give them the hope. Like, when you make those intentional decisions, this is what life can look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what can it look like? What would you say it would look like for those who are like, okay, I'm really going to identify this and then get help?
Well, it can actually be, like, life can actually be lived in a really peaceful, beautiful rhythm. Mm-hmm. But when you live in a perfectionist lifestyle, I think you rob yourself of any sort of peace that comes with, you know, letting that go. So I think, you can live a peaceful life. Yeah, you can.
You know, as Christians, we're called to live in freedom, right? And so there's no question about it. Perfectionism is... it's paralyzing. It's like it's emotional handcuffs. So when we accept the freedom that's being offered to us and we can live in that peace or that freedom, it opens up a world of possibilities. We can connect better with people. We can we just interact and move in our life in a different way because we're not so hyper-focused with what's happening and what's going right or wrong.
That's good.
Wow, so good.
You know, as we were talking about as parents, like how it starts with family of origin and then it can come to us. And I'm just thinking of myself as, you know, a parent of teens. What would you say, you know, to help me not project some of my perfectionist on them? Because you want your kids to be excellent. You want them to do things really well and perfect sometimes. How do you guard yourself from that, you know, because I want my kids to live in freedom. I want them to live where they make a mistake and, hey, it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be. What advice would you give me to ensure that I don't know, just, you know, kind of like put that on them and on my husband and on my friends, not just my kids.
I think that's such a complicated question, but I'll answer it the best way I can. I think we have to explore our shame story. So for example, if you're, let's say you nitpick about clothes, since that's what we've been talking about. And so whenever your teenager is wearing a certain outfit, you immediately feel shame. And so that shame looks like, do you have to wear that? Do you mind changing your shirt? We're going somewhere nice. But what is your shame story? Are you telling yourself, if someone sees him dressed like this, they're gonna think that we don't have money. They're gonna think that he didn't shower and that he comes from a dirty home. And so that's your shame story. But is that true? Probably not. And so kind of working through that, like, what story am I telling myself right now? What does this mean to me? Why is this so important for me to comment and to criticize? And then going from there, I think is...
That's good.
Okay, so maybe there was a bit of conviction
because
I've had some issues with my kids' clothing.
Yeah, me too.
No, I'm not even, I mean, it's a good example. I mean, you didn't know, but it literally was something.
It's a common struggle with teenagers,
Wow.
And then even like from our own teenage life too, like we remember being made fun of when we dressed like that. So we're like, I don't want my kid to be made fun of, so let me protect them by helping them to change some of their ways.
It's so interesting, perfectionism casting this wide net and recruiting people that are these like innocent bystanders, right?
Visual.
You know, what I hear what you're all saying is that there's an intentionality, like you have to choose to make these changes in perfectionism. We can't just like sit there and be like, all right, you know, I'm not going to do any work and things are going to change.
Well, that's right. Like when we do the work, we give ourselves like a chance at real life, you know, like a life worth living, mm-hmm. but we have to do the work.
Yeah, I think that's really important, like do the work.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Lean into the discomfort mm-hmm. of kind of changing our natural patterns. And it's not comfortable in the beginning, but it's like short-term pain for long-term gain.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So much of it is about unlearning the things that we've been programmed with around yeah. perfectionism and unlearning those and then relearning or learning the things that are going to help us stay away from the perfectionistic thinking.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, like, it's not worth it because it's so much hard work to do mm-hmm. because there's going to be a lot of pain, but it's
yeah.
worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
Yeah, I just want us to affirm that more for the people
so
listening because they're
it.
Just
yeah.
like,
yeah.
but what's it going to uncover? Yeah. I think that's the other fear. Yeah. What is it going to uncover?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to hear you say, like, the freedom yeah. and the peace yeah. mm-hmm. and a different story and narrative and, mm-hmm. and how that will impact family and kids, yeah. it's yeah. worth it.
It's worth yeah. it.
Any last encouragement for woman, man, teen who's like, I'm struggling with perfectionism. It's been debilitating. It's hard. How would you encourage them today? Brooke, start with you.
I just think that like, yeah, just back to the authority thing. The Lord has given you the authority to do hard things. And so just be encouraged knowing that like the Lord is with you and you can do that hard thing.
You can do the hard thing. That's mm-hmm. good.
Yeah. I think struggling is part of the human experience, and so reminding ourselves of that, and that struggling gives space for God to move and for God to work in our life. So allow God to take up space in your struggles.
Don't be afraid of the struggle, like,
yeah.
right into it. Okay,
into it.
Good.
And our value is not in what we produce or how we look.
Yes.
It's in who we are in Christ.
That's right.
And so clinging to that. That piece is so important.
So good.
And hashtag no makeup picture. I wasn't looking at you, Brooke. I was kind of trying to look at everybody together. Well, thank you, Nicole, Sinai, Brooke. Amazing, amazing conversation. It was encouraging. It was hopeful. Thank you so much. And to you, our viewers and listeners, thank you for being with us. All the information about these amazing panelists and resources are on seehearlove.com. And as you work on being self-aware, doing the hard work, doing the struggle, and being intentional, know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Goodbye. Thanks, guys. That was amazing.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.